The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. On the night that he is to be arrested, Jesus shares final words with his disciples. As the one through whom God is known, he promises to go before them and act on their behalf. I begin reading at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the place to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our second lesson for today, Peter writes to a number of the Christian churches there in the area. And actually, the area covers parts of Turkey and Greece and maybe on into Italy. But he's covering a fairly broad area of different churches as he addresses this letter. But he addresses the Christians as exiles. Unfortunately, that is a time when the Christians are being persecuted because of their faith. And many of the Christians maybe have fled their homes, maybe they are in hiding, maybe they have left even their towns to go other places just to get away from some of the persecution. And so Peter calls them exiles as they have moved away. Have you ever considered yourself an exile? Exile is not something that we're used to for ourselves. Many of us, or many of you, have lived here in this community all your life. Your parents lived here, your grandparents lived here, and maybe even your great-grandparents lived here. You're established, you're well-established, and you wouldn't think of yourself as being an exile. Or you've lived in your home for many, many years. You're established, you're set where you are. You don't feel like an exile in that sense. Or maybe you feel grounded because of the work that you do. Even though that you may travel quite a bit, you still feel grounded or not an exile because of what you do, whether it's ranching or the gas and oil industry, or maybe the medical profession, or maybe as a teacher, or maybe as somebody who just sweeps floors. You feel called into that profession, and that helps define who you are, and you're comfortable in that. And you don't feel like an exile that way. Or maybe you feel more grounded in your family. You are surrounded by loving people, people that you have known all your life, people who have cared for you, people you have cared for, or by friends as well then too. And they make you feel at home, that this is where you belong. Maybe your name has something to do with it. Maybe your name carries some weight and it gives you some definition of who you are. And we feel grounded. But in truth, we are exiles. We are all exiles in this Christian faith. Because all these things I named, whether it's property or land or your home or your work or your family, your friends, none of those are truly permanent. Fires come, storms rage through, people get angry at one another, people get sick, and people die. Every time that we have a funeral, we are reminded that we are temporary, that this is our temporary home, that we are actually living as exiles. Our true home. And we do have a true home. And I think that's why Peter calls these Christians exiles. It's to give them hope that even though they are being persecuted, even though they may be shoved around or in hiding or have to move around, they still have a home. And that home is with God. Peter here quotes scriptures. And saying that our home is with God, that Jesus is the cornerstone. Now you think about a home, you think about your house or your apartment or wherever you live, that it's permanent, that it's solid, and that it's there for you. That is where you belong. With a cornerstone, that is the first part of a building. And let me explain a little bit about a cornerstone if you don't understand the way that they built way back when. Cornerstone was... probably they tried to make it the most perfect stone that they could. Perfectly with square corners. It may have been rectangle, but it was perfectly square. And they would place it where they wanted the building, in one of the corners. And by the placement of that stone is where the rest of the building would grow from. And so they had to make sure that when they placed that one stone, that it was straight up and down, that it was perfectly level, and that it went exactly the right way that they wanted that building to go. Because every other stone, every other piece of building material that followed after that would be in line with that stone. Whether it's going one way or the other way or up and down, it was all lined up. Otherwise, you would get a crooked building, you would get one that would lean if you did not follow that stone, if you did not place that stone in the right place. Scripture says Jesus is the cornerstone. And if that is our home, our foundation, we are called to stay in line with Jesus Christ. And we are to lead our lives in accordance with Jesus Christ along those same lines. But here in Peter's letter, he goes beyond even calling Jesus the cornerstone. He says that Jesus is the living stone. Now, when we think of stones, we think of something that is lifeless, that is cold, that is, once you put it there, once you set it down, it's not going to move by itself. It's going to stay put. But Jesus is the living stone, which gives a whole different meaning to this in the aspect that he's not tied to one place. But yet, at the same time, we are able still to stay in line with him, that he calls us together, that he pulls us together, that he is our foundation, but yet he is alive. He is living. He is not some cold, dead thing that we don't think about, but he is alive and well in our hearts. And Peter even goes on further, and he calls us also the living stones. The living stones who help to make that foundation, or to make that house or that wall or whatever the building is. He calls us the living stones. We are a part of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. And Paul calls us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We make up this building. We make up this mansion. We make up this kingdom that Christ has called us into and has pulled us together and has tied us together and laid us down to be a part of who he is. Which brings us to the gospel lesson this morning then too. In our gospel lesson this morning, it says, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" Now this is a text that we hear many times at funerals. And it's a very comforting text because it lets us know that no matter what happens here on this earth, that and even though that we don't see Jesus physically present among us, we know that he has a place for us in the new life. And that is a comforting interpretation of it. But in light of this letter that St. Peter writes to these Christians, it kind of puts a new perspective on it then too. If Christ is going to prepare a mansion or a house or dwelling place or whatever the interpretation is, and he is the cornerstone, and we are the living stones, that says that we are already a part of that mansion. That we already have a part or have a place with Jesus Christ. And that when he says he goes to prepare a place for us, that we are also included in those preparations. We are included in that building, in that building up of the kingdom of God. And so even though we may be considered exiles here on this earth, that we are living in a temporary world, we have a permanent place as Jesus as our cornerstone, as a living stone, and we as part of that building material, as a part of those living stones along with him. Christ has called us into his kingdom. He has called us his holy people. He has called us the priesthood of believers, and we are no longer exiles. Amen.